Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
5:03 in the fast lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, and Randy Carricker. And we have Take It or Leave It coming up in a moment. Send in your text to the Home Loan Expert text line at 65780. That was Rihanna. And in 2014, Joel Embiid was denied by Rihanna and was told to come back when you're an all-star. Well, Embiid is an all-star.
Your team is trying to cool you off here, but years ago, you were denied by a young woman who told you to come back when you were an all-star. Is there anything you'd like to say to anybody on TNT right now?
I mean, she denied me back then, so why go with her again? So I have to pass that and move on to the next one.
You've got the mic. Anything you'd like to say?
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Move on to the next one. Look, he doesn't need Rihanna at this point.
Yeah.
He probably does.
Does anybody not?
I don't know. But look, he's handling it like a band. He's turning the page. He's trusting the process.
Trust the process.
If you love something, let it go. If it comes back, I think it was never his in the first place. But maybe it will be. Go get him, Joel.
We had fun a couple of days ago over at Westport Social. And
always have fun.
We spend a lot of time doing remotes, getting out and about, and speaking before the public. People always show up to our remotes, and I can talk sports. Take it or leave it, gentlemen. You would be surprised if in a public setting I could perform in a genre other than just sports.
I'm going to leave it, Randy.
I'll leave it. Like I told you before, if you're a professional at something, you can fake being a professional at just about anything else.
Westport Social, our championship bash is on Sunday, and we hope that you'll stop by.
Randy, I think you're way more than sports. You're way deeper than that. I mean, we've had a chance just on these airwaves, and I don't even know what you're talking about. So, but we've had a chance to hear like Randy raps. Like you break it down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I come from the mean streets of Creve Coeur, and
buddy.
That's
dang.
You know,
it's good.
That's dope.
I feel really like that is, when you grow up where I grew up, it's one of the inherent talents. It's an environmental, it's not something that is genetic. And I'm really proud of it.
I think you'd have cleaned up at the shelter in Detroit. You would have just dominated all
Randy
the other battlers.
Used to have to rap battle on his bike rides to the Quick Trip.
Yeah, it's true.
Really?
Yeah. So, I just wanted to know. So you're both...
I think you can do anything, Randy.
I think we knew.
Okay. Just wanted
the people
by the way,
may
at this, speaking of rap battles, and this isn't going to be a battle, yet it will be a performance, at our championship bash over there at Westport Social, Kiwan Murphy Lee from the St. Lunatics will be performing.
Love him.
And a special guest. So I don't know who
we'll see.
Special guest will be, but we
will
find out. All right, so as most of you know by now, and if you don't, welcome to the news. Randal Grichuk has been traded to the Toronto Blue Jays, and it looks like he'll have an opportunity there, at least on paper, to probably play every single day. Take it or leave it, Randal Grichuk sets a new career high in home runs with at least 25.
Take it.
I'll take it.
I'm going to take it, too. Nice and easy over the fence.
Upper tank.
Put him in that division,
yep.
Too. Watch out.
Become a star.
It's still going to be tough for the Blue Jays in that division, but I think he'll have a good year.
Take it or leave it, he sets a new high in strikeouts also, so you're going to need over 141 of them.
Yeah, take that too.
I'm going to leave it. I think he's figured it out.
High strikeout, high home runs, I'm on board with that. We were talking about this either yesterday or maybe the day before. At any point, it was recent. Tim Tebow has been given an invitation to Mets spring training. Yes. He is one of nine players that'll be invited to camp, Major League Baseball camp for the Mets. Take it or leave it, 2018 is the year Tim Tebow is finally called up.
Take it.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it.
Up where?
To the big leagues.
I'm going to leave it.
September call-up.
It's going to happen.
Tim Tebow. It's going to happen.
It is.
It's going to make baseball great.
Yep.
Again.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Take it or leave it, Randy's rap game is more impressive than his piloting skills in a helicopter.
Whoa. I'm going to leave it. They're both, I mean, tie for first, but I'm going to leave it because the fact that you can not only pilot a helicopter, but you can also, like, do the news while you're up there. That's
right.
Very difficult to do. Most people, like, just do one or the other.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind knowing what's going on with our traffic situation right now, it being after 5
really?
O'clock. This is drive
good
time.
Call.
How do you think we find out something like that?
Hop up and see what's going on. Well, it looks like we have clear sailing on Olive, both east and westbound, 270 north and south, typical Friday afternoon. And, of course, as you get to 55 north and south, once again, typical Friday afternoon in St. Louis. I'm Captain Randy Carricker in the 101 ESPN. Jetcopter 2?
Thank you, Captain Carricker. Do you guys remember a couple of weeks ago when we had a car chase live on
yes.
air and the Carricker copter was up there for quite some time?
It really was.
Damn near ran out of gas.
Yeah,
his arms were tired.
We had the loose cattle as well.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. That was like in the summer, right?
It was overhead, yeah.
That needs to happen more often. There need to be loose farm animals in the city.
Take it or leave it, more Brad Thompson on Fox Sports Midwest this summer is a great thing.
Yeah. Congratulations, BT.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Had that one in the can for a while, didn't you? I'll take it. I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be about 15 games or so?
Somewhere around there,
You and Danny Mac with some magic.
You think is magic what we're going to do?
Broadcasting magic.
We're going to do something. I'm going to try not to mess it up. I am excited for the opportunity to do something during a game. It'll be fun. I can't give up any home runs up there, and I will, in fact, trust the process.
After trading Randall Grichuk, take it or leave it, the Cardinals are definitely done shaving the roster this offseason.
Oh, I'm going to leave it.
I'm going to leave it, too.
There's just too many free agents that are still out there. There's too many stones left unturned at this point.
Did you say shaving or shaving?
Shaving.
Yeah. Getting rid of players? Cutting down,
yes.
I'm gonna leave it because I don't think this is the roster that they go into spring training with. And I really still have a hope they sign somebody. Probably not a trade, but I think a free agent's coming here.
Take it or leave it, after today's trade, the Cardinals' top priority is a third baseman.
I'll leave that.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave it too.
I feel comfortable with Jericho.
I don't. But I do think they need a starting pitcher more than they need a third baseman.
So, too. The organization is very adamant about the fact that they don't need that. That's fine. Like, I like all the depth they have, too. And it was funny. We did have Cardinals GM Michael Gersh on with us earlier, and Gersh did say that the organization feels better. He said that. They feel better about it than it sounds like everybody else does on the outside. And that's just because we feel better on the outside of spending their money. We feel better about that than they do. You know what I mean? It's yeah, fine. We'll throw money at Darvish or we'll throw money at Arrieta. Well, in the practical aspect of it, it's not that easy to do.
No. Right. By the way, notable that last year on opening night against the Cubs, in the Cardinal lineup were Aledmys Diaz, Johnny Peralta, Stephen Piscotty, and Randall Grichuk. Those four were in your starting eight, and now they are no longer in the organization.
That's what we call in the business churn, Randy.
Yeah, I'll say.
That's a little churn. Not necessary.
Well, and Sung Hwan Oh pitched in that game. But otherwise, everybody else
is wait. Oh is gone.
Uh-huh.
Randall Grichuk's gone.
Yeah.
Stephen Piscotty?
Yeah.
Johnny Peralta?
Yeah.
Who else?
Aledmys Diaz.
Damn. Thanks, Stephen A.
So mean, you know? Do we have to? Do we have to be mean to all these former people who did things?
I like all those people. They all had great moments as Cardinals.
Great moments.
And then this is what they do. That's it. That's
you know.
It's a business, man. It's
maybe
tough.
Maybe we should have appreciate.
Like, hey, really enjoyed all your time here, Randall. It was a fun one, but...
Go on, get. No, go on, I'll get.
And take it or leave it, Bomeister purposely arrived late in Toronto so Dunn could get some PT.
I'll leave it.
I mean, you're a baby.
I've heard Bo's a great teammate and all, but I don't think he's that good of a teammate. No. I'm going to leave that.
Yep. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your texts to the Home Loan Expert text line at 65780. Are the Cardinals good with outfield depth, or are there still moves to be made? That's next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. That is the general manager of your St. Louis Cardinals, Michael Gersh, and the Cardinals do have a host of young outfielders. And one of the questions we asked today after the trade of Randall Grichuk was whether or not there was somebody who profiled as, among all those young outfielders, as a bench player. And there really isn't that guy. Right now, there's no question that Jose Martinez, when he's not playing first base, would profile as your fourth guy. But is there another guy that you'd say, okay, he's a bench player and he doesn't need to go down to the minors and play every day? A guy like Harrison Bader or Oscar Mercado or Tyler O'Neill or Jose Adolis Garcia or any of those guys,
right.
Guys that you can put up on the bench. Like he said, you can rotate them in and out and you can get guys at bats at the minors and have a guy up here all the time. Or the other thing you could do is look at that array of free agent outfielders and maybe pluck one from there.
I feel like that's a really interesting pool to look at right now, because when you do look at that role, and honestly, I like what Gersh is talking about of having somebody come in and out, because then you breed competition anyhow, right? You've got guys that are hungry for at-bats and want to be in the big league, and you have a lot of talent there, so I like the idea of that. We kept talking about that Memphis shuttle, but I think that when we talk about that, we mainly talk about it in the bullpen.
Right.
It could also be for your last spot on the roster for the outfield, so that's an interesting way to go about it. But usually when you look at that spot, when it's like a fifth outfielder, a guy that's rounding out a roster, a lot of times you look for that veteran presence, right? Somebody that's used to that role. And we talked to Gary Bennett yesterday, and Gary was a backup for a lot of his career and had an incredible major league career. And a lot of times it's good in that role to know what your role is, right? You give somebody a day off here and there. You take great at-bats when somebody needs to get a rest. Like, you're happy with the role that you have. And you're not worried about sitting for a long period of time. That's what would make me interested, especially with the market being as slow as it is right now, on maybe kicking the tires on a free agent that's sitting out there.
Are you talking about in terms of the infield? Or you?
No, outfield. Just give me another outfield. If you could play all positions, that's great. If I can get a Johnny Holstaff.
Is there a name as you look at the list of available free agent outfielders, is there anybody that intrigues you?
So I've got one that's not a high price name. Like, because Cargo is intriguing. Yeah. Both of the Cargos, Gomez and Gonzalez, are intriguing, but they're not going to spend that kind of money, and those guys aren't going to want a fifth outfield job, right? Seth Smith, for some reason, intrigues me. He's a left-handed bat, played in 111 games last year, and he's just been around. He can play anywhere in the outfield, wherever you plug him in, he's going to be fine. He would know what his role is coming in, and I just think it's a name that's interesting, at least, at this point.
Yeah, he's not going to cost you very much. He's been a consistent player. You don't need him to play, have every day at bats. He's not going to get those anyway, but he's done nicely in the... What has he played, like 120 innings or so the last couple of seasons? Is that right?
Yeah, last few years, just last 3 years, 136 games, 111. So he's a guy, you kind of know what his role is. Get a pinch hit here and there and can do a good job on the outfield for you. He's 35 years old, so he's not a spring chicken, but he knows his role and he can give you a good competitive at bat from the left side.
And this is where the Cardinals are in terms of their outfield. I mean, we talked about that a lot going back to last season and before the Ozuna acquisition during this offseason. They've got plenty to work with. They don't have to go and spend money on a free agent if they don't want to. They've got plenty of in-house options. But I think when it comes to players like Bader in particular, I would prefer, and I know we joked about this earlier, that he would certainly prefer to be on the big league club.
Mm-hmm.
He'd rather be playing once every 5 or 6 days, but being in the big league dugout, I think he would rather do that. But for the organization, it probably suits them best if he's getting everyday at bats because they expect him to be an everyday player at some point.
Yeah. A couple of other names that are out there. And because you have the right-handed hitting Pham and the right-handed hitting Ozuna, and the right-handed hitting Jose Martinez, and you have a lot of left-hand right-handed hitting bats elsewhere. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to get a left-handed bench bat. Daniel Nava had a decent year off the bench last year for Philly. He's a switch hitter.
He was supposed to be can't miss there for
he
Boston.
He was, yeah. And he would be an interesting guy. And I don't know if the Cardinals would go back to Yanier, the Federalist, but he is still out there, and he's another left-handed bat.
You know, as I look at this problem, I'm not even sure it's really a problem for them.
Oh, it's not at all.
You know what I mean?
It's
like,
a great position to be in.
I guess I want them to do... There are other things I would prefer for them to do at this point.
Me too. And we're talking cheap guys, relatively inexpensive guys here. We're talking about filling out the roster. This is the 25th man on the roster that people will complain all day about when the team is going well.
And these people do that anyway.
Yeah. These are the guys right now that are hungry for jobs, too, the ones you're talking about. When you have all these higher-end free agents that are still without jobs, these guys wonder, when the hell is it going to happen for me? So if the Cardinals did identify one of these guys that could potentially be a fit, now would be the time, right? Give them a call. But I think the more we look at the pool of free agents, the more we look at the Cardinals' prospects that they have right there that are on the brink, as Gersh was saying, guys that were in AA, AAA, had a taste of the big leagues last year. I'm actually more intrigued by that crop than I am of anybody in the free agent pool. But the problem is, how do you get them those regular at-bats? How do you make sure that they stay ready to go?
Right.
And do you end up hindering somebody's ability to just grow as a baseball player by putting them in that role? That's why they have the big offices.
Yeah, that's what I'm more concerned about long-term, is that some of these guys we are talking about, even Tyler O'Neill, I think they probably believe at some point he's an everyday player. That doesn't mean he's going to turn into one, but in order for them to find out, he has to get everyday at-bats. Harrison Bader, as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, he's the same situation. They have to play these guys every day. But wouldn't it be nice if we're sitting here on January 19th, we're talking about the Cardinals roster in its entirety, and our one concern is who's the fifth outfielder?
Yeah.
They're not there. That's not where they are, but I kind of wish that this is what we were talking about right now. I think we recognize some of the deficiencies they have, some of the uncertainties they have in the bullpen, though maybe they fixed that a little bit today. I think the Leon deal, I believe that does help them out quite a bit. It's not a closer. It's not a lockdown ninth inning guy that you feel like you can go to every single time you've got a save situation, but he helps the bullpen, because if you go back to last year and look at what they were, look at their statistics, blown saves, they weren't bad. They were a top four, top five team in the National League in terms of closing out games. The problem was bridging the gap.
Yeah.
And I think they fixed that a little bit today.
The Cardinals trading Randall Grichuk earlier in the day for a couple of right-handers from Toronto. Connor Green, who last year pitched in AA, he's a hard thrower. And a guy who's going to be very popular on the Hill, Dominic Leon.
Why?
Well, he'll be able to go there.
You think so? Just walk right in?
Fit right in, yeah.
Is he Italian?
Dom, we got your seat.
Yeah.
That'll be
Dom.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I really like the pickup here, and I'm really interested to get a chance to see Green. I'm assuming he'll be in big league spring training. You want to see what
both placed on the big league roster.
Well, so yes, in fact, he will. So you want to get a chance to see what you got with him. But Leon had that incredible year last year with Toronto, as Gersh mentioned too. His rookie year with Seattle was very good. And a little scuffle in the middle. We all go through those. Some people
say that others. Yeah.
Look, I like the addition. He throws hard, 94-95. Got a good cutter. Randy, you were looking at his splits earlier. He's heck on lefties. Great against righties, too. He just had a great year last year. And Green is one of those guys where if you can get him to throw strikes and just trust his stuff, and maybe I haven't seen him pitch yet, so I don't know if he's one of those guys that just looks max effort all the time. But if you can get him to get away from that and trust his stuff and realize that 96 sometimes, 96 on the corner is way better than 101 to the backstop, then you might have some. But he's 22 years old. Like, that is still
he's
a nice piece of clay.
And to go back to Leon for a minute, you know, you mentioned that cutter, BT. You know where he learned it?
Mariano Rivera.
Taught it him. Yes.
Really?
Watching,
I was just picking a guy.
Hold on, though. Watching YouTube videos of
best.
Mariano Rivera.
Fine.
That's how we found a cutter a few years ago.
It's pretty cool.
I like that. That's a good one to emulate.
Hey, you were talking about this a few days ago, that you can go to YouTube and figure out how to do anything.
Anything.
And I guess learn a cutter is one
you
of those.
You want to build a house? YouTube.
I fixed
an entire house.
I opened
That's
up
right,
a TV and fixed it. Yeah.
I did a car repair. YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Putting, like, air conditioning.
Whatever you need.
Yeah, to recharge your air conditioning.
You want to rebuild your engine? YouTube.
Yep.
Adam Wainwright relearned his curveball watching videos.
That's right. Amazing. Next up in the Fast Lane, we want your text to the Home Loan Expert text line at 65780, right?
Well, yeah.
Because we've got the Sports Six Pack next on 101 ESPN. And we do appreciate your texts to the Home Loan Expert text line, 65780, with your questions for us, Big Sizz.
With the Grichuk news today, the trade to Toronto, what do you think we'll be saying about Randall in 5 years?
Oh, there it is.
Wish he could have done that.
Man,
here.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Which is great, because hopefully you're saying the same thing about the two guys that you got, that Leon was great and that Green turned into that stud, a 22-year-old kid that throws 100 miles an hour that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, actually turned into an incredible pitcher for you. Sometimes you need that, first of all, the opportunity. Now, it's easy to say that Randall's had his opportunity here, and he certainly has. They've given him, last year he was supposed to be the four-hole hitter and played left field every day. It just didn't work. He ran into some issues, but this was this year was going to be very hard for him to have any opportunity at all to excel, to get better, and this provides him that, and it provides the Cardinals with two good arms. It just seems like one of those trades where it could easily be a win-win for both organizations.
It's one of the toughest things for a team to do is to identify the moment that they've given a player enough of a chance, because you don't want to hang on too darn long, but you also don't want to give up too early either, because you could have this very situation where he goes to Toronto and he winds up blowing up and he becomes the player they expected him to be a few years ago. But if from the fans' perspective, and I think a lot of people here were done with the Grichuk thing, and sometimes fans, actually a lot of times, fans want to give up quicker than most, you know, than organizations want to give up
on
a player.
Their fans aren't quite as invested as organizations
are. They are not. So if he does turn into a player, for those people who used to say things like, all right, I'm done watching Grichuk fail and watching all of this, you can't be upset with this deal, because they've moved on, they've addressed a need they have in the bullpen, and there just wasn't a place for him anymore here.
A lot of noise in Major League Baseball this week regarding pace of play. What do you make of all the potential rule changes that Rob Manfred wants to put in place?
Brad?
I hate him. I freaking hate him. Yeah, there is, I think I'm with the Players Union on this one. And remember this, players would like to be done with the games earlier too. Like, players would be totally fine if they were 2.5 hours and they were out of there and everything was the same. Players are not, though. They're not okay with the game itself changing. And yes, they make tons of money, and yes, this is an entertainment business, but there's still a history that's involved in baseball, and the fact that baseball hasn't had a clock in ever, and every other sport does, it's a beautiful thing. I don't like it. I believe that this is going to come to a head here soon. Like, this is going to be ugly. If Manfred does unilaterally just decide to put these rules in, and I know he tried to sweeten up the deal a little bit and say, all right, look, we'll make it a little bit better. We'll do an 18-second clock when there's nobody on, and then no clock afterwards, fine. Like, that was all going to be fine. But that ain't going to happen anymore. Those rules are done. This is going to be ugly. I hate it.
The way I look at it is I think baseball has to, and I talked with this talked about this with Dunk before the show today, that Major League Baseball is not worried about us. They're not worried about you or me or Randy or guys who have been, people who have been watching baseball for 30, 40 years. I think what they're concerned about is the next generation and whether or not they're going to pay attention. And in 20 or 30 years, is the sport going to be too slow for them? I don't know.
But the pitch clock's not going to solve that.
Well,
it's eyewash is what it is.
I think it's for the umpires, because there are already rules where umpires are supposed to speed the game along, but they just don't do
it. Why don't they just do that? If you're Rob Manfred, instead of changing a rule, instead of pissing off all your players, why don't you just tell the umpires to do their job?
There you go.
But here's what winds up happening.
Call the strikes on the way it is.
I
make
agree
batter
with
stay
you.
In the box. Like, little things. Maybe don't take 20 minutes on your replays. I don't know.
I 100% agree with you on
less
that.
Less than a minute, you
bing,
just
bang,
solved all the
bong.
Problems they needed. They have.
But what happens is they tell umpires to do it, and then it lasts for like 2 months, and they just go back to their old way.
Enforce it.
I agree with you. I am totally with you on this. It never happens.
I like accountability.
Pitch clock's the worst thing ever.
You hate the Rams and the NFL for allowing them to leave, so why do you continue to talk about it and cover it like we do?
The NFL is the biggest sport out there. Now, in our region here, the Cardinals reign supreme, right?
Right.
Obviously, we cover the Blues as well. Plus, we have 4 hours a day to talk. 4 hours. That's 20 hours a week. The NFL is big. Turn on any channel. Like, it's there. And people are talking about the playoffs, the storylines, the superstars. And personally, I still find it very interesting. So,
and so do you. The listeners have responded clearly because what we talk about has resulted in this show being number one in our target demographic and our time slot for the last year. So something Bang! Is working. And just because we have been screwed by the NFL doesn't mean that their game is bad. Their business is hyenas. But
heinous.
Yeah, that too. But
that's a group of wild animals.
The games, if you watched last weekend, if you watched the end of Minnesota and New Orleans, the game itself, what happens on the field, is really compelling.
I agree with you. I think stuff like the catch rules and how they're I think they're interpreted right. I just think the rules are bad.
Rules are terrible.
That stuff is really hard to watch. But even with all of it, people are still watching. And they're watching a lot. And I don't care if the ratings have dipped. And people like to focus on, well, there are 23 million fewer people watched the playoff games this past weekend than they did the year before. Football's still the dominant program on TV.
It is.
In the NL Central, where does the Cardinals' middle defense stand?
Number one.
We're number one. We're number one.
Yachty, Wonger, DeYoung.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're counting all the way up the middle. Because if they are, and Yadier Molina is part of it, because
yeah,
you build strength up the middle. Or they're just talking about your shortstop, second base combo right there.
Not really number
That's
one.
That's what I thought they were talking about.
You've got Martin Maldonado along with Andrelton Simmons, Ian Kinsler, Mike Trout. For the Angels?
I think he said Central.
Central.
Though. Oh, Central. Yeah. In the Central.
So, because that's really good.
Almora, Russell, Baez, Contreras. That's pretty good.
Better.
Second?
That's pretty good.
Second then? Wong and DeYoung, I was actually really impressed with the way that they got to. We knew for years that Wong had the ability to make that incredible play. He could range it, you know, up the middle and make some crazy throw across his body. He had at times a tough time with the one like Adam.
Yeah,
but he has shored that up quite a bit. And DeYoung, I don't know if DeYoung has a ton of range or just look like it after Ledmus Diaz, but I think that that's a very solid, sure-handed combo up the middle.
Yeah, I think he's fine.
Yeah,
I think he's fine there.
Clearly, the Pirates are going to be different without Chris Stewart and without Andrew McCutchen, and they really couldn't find second baseman last year. Same with the Brewers. They went through three or four different second basemen. I don't even know who they're planning on playing at second this year. And the Reds are going to be really young. Billy Hamilton is very good in center field, but you lose Cozart. And
he's pretty good.
Yeah,
Cozart.
He was really good. And Jeanette he's okay at second. I don't know that he's a superior player to Colton Wong. So
Jose
Peraza
is good up the middle.
Yeah,
he's good at short.
Yeah. I would still go, I think, at the moment at least, with the Cardinals being second.
Here's what I do know. I feel comfortable with the defense up the middle, especially if you're going to add on your catcher and your center fielder. I feel really good about it up the middle.
Yeah, they're not going to blow anybody out of the water with the defense, but I don't think it's a liability. At minimum, it's not a liability, which is a good thing because the Cardinals had a lot of liabilities on the field to start last year.
I don't have a position right now where I'm terrified for the ball to be hit.
Right.
So a great question with this Randall Grichuk trade is what happens to the tuxedo shirt?
He can take it with him. That's fine.
You're not going to ask for
it
back?
Still?
No, I'm not going to do that.
We'll ask him. Maybe we'll get him on next week. We can ask him about the tuxedo t-shirt, how he plans to implement it. Because he's not just going to let it go.
Now,
although it didn't necessarily work for him.
If you all don't mind indulging me.
Mm-hmm. Canadian tuxedo t-shirt? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, no,
get him a jean one?
That's not a bad idea. You know what, Brad? That's not where I was going,
okay,
but
sorry.
You know what? You went somewhere better. I really want to know how this happened. I know he's got it. I know Randy got it for him, but why?
Well, we thought that he needed to relax. He was kind of squeezing the sawdust out of the bat.
It starts by the fact that he just goes by Randall, and Randall itself was stuffy, right?
It's really
stuffy,
and Randy is a much more, it's a less formal
I want to go have a beer with Randy. I want Randall to do my taxes.
Because when you are less formal, you want to be formal, but you still want to be here to party.
A tuxedo t-shirt says, I am less formal, but I'm formal, but I'm here to party. Yeah, I got it. I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so
that's exactly what it was. And we want him. He's a professional. He's a big leaguer. He represents the St. Louis Cardinals, and he did it well. But he needed to loosen up in the box a little bit, and that's kind of where it came
from. That was Talladega, right?
Oh, yes, it was.
You guys are really good. I've seen it like twice, and I don't remember any lines.
Really?
You guys are really good at it, though.
It's a good flick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Award-winning.
You know what? I think you came up with a great idea. What would a Canadian tuxedo t-shirt look like?
It would be denim.
So it would be like a denim vest?
Probably.
Denim jacket.
It'd be really nice.
But I'm not going to take it back. I'm not going to.
No, you can't. Oh, it was a gift, Randy.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a gift.
If anybody listening.
This painting was a gift.
Anybody listening is a t-shirt designer. Design for us a Canadian tuxedo t-shirt.
Not going to be an Indian giver.
And show us what it looks like.
Yeah, I can't do that.
No.
Take it back.
And early, would you rather? Would you rather have Tom Brady at 50% or Blake Bortles at 100%?
Blake Bortles at 100. I'll take any quarterback at 100 with Leonard Fournette running the ball. Is it a fitty?
Can I have Tom Brady at 75? Because by the way, he had two gloves on during the press conference today.
Uh-huh.
Indoors.
You don't know which.
Dude, he's so
and he had a huge cap
it's
on. It's
so,
cold.
It's so ridiculous.
He's really good at playing the game.
Yep. So ridiculous. The Patriots are absurd.
Yep. Hey, coming up next, the professor John Clayton on 101 ESPN. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Let's head to the Lufia's Kia Celebrity Line. And as the NFL's championship weekend approaches, the professor, John Clayton, joins us. John Clayton, always great to have you with us here on 101 ESPN. How are you doing today?
Hanging in there. How about you guys?
Good, thanks.
Well, Professor, obviously this is an incredible weekend here, and not exactly the matchups that everyone expected, at least as far as quarterbacks go. But I want to ask you about one in particular, because we've seen the good version of him one week, the bad version the next week. Blake Bortles, to me, might be the most polarizing, interesting figure in all the playoffs. What do you expect out of Blake Bortles in this matchup against the Patriots?
I just get the feeling it's going to be a struggle because, I mean, anytime you go into Foxborough, a lot of things go wrong, even for good quarterbacks. Go ask Ben Roethlisberger, go ask Peyton Manning. And so, you know, we're talking Blake Bortles. I know he's had a good game against Pittsburgh twice. He's had a good game against the Seattle Seahawks. But can he carry it again, particularly when you saw how bad he was in his first playoff game against the Buffalo Bills? I think that, you know, he's now going to be trying to scheme and perform against Bill Belichick and Bill Belichick's improving defense. And even though Bill doesn't have a lot of playmakers, he's got enough things that I think he's got going to contain Blake Bortles. I mean, obviously, one thing that Bill Belichick does is take away your best offensive threat, and that means that they'll take away Leonard Fournette as long as he's not driving his Mercedes. I mean, getting rear-end car accidents, but I think they can take care of that. And if that's going to be the case, it's up to Blake Bortles to win a game against Tom Brady. I don't care how bad the thumb is for Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady was going to win that one.
Yeah, what is going on there? Because he showed up for his press conference today and he had gloves on both hands, so you couldn't see what was going on. What exactly is he and the Patriots doing?
Well, and here's the weird part, because, I mean, there's two conspiracy theories here, and you may buy into them, you may not, and I don't buy into them, because, again, you know, anytime anything is involved with the Patriots that's leaked, you kind of wonder, gee, this is really detailed. And more detail came out about this injury than any I could remember involving Tom Brady. Okay, so they didn't say anything publicly, but it comes out, they put him on the injury list, they say it's his hand, and it bumped into a teammate, and, you know, he couldn't practice on Thursday. So the first thought is, ooh, he's not going to practice Friday, so he doesn't have to be at the podium to talk about his injury, his relationship with Bill Belichick, the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. That's conspiracy theory number one. Well, he practiced today, so that died. So now the next one is, you know, he comes up and he has the glove on and they won't answer, he won't and get specifics. And then it leaks out. Listen to the leaks that came out of there. First off, that he had 4 stitches in his thumb. There's no fracture, no break, but, you know, he did throw well. That leaked out. And that his thumb hit on the belt buckle of one of the teammates. That's more detail of any injury we've ever heard from the Patriots. So you could take the conspiracy theory that maybe it's worse than expected, or maybe it's just not a big deal. But that's just the kind of the weird stuff you deal with the Patriots. I think he's going to be fine.
The professor, John Clayton, joining us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Let's talk about the other game last week. All things considered, Nick Foles played well. What do you expect from Foles on Sunday?
I think it's going to be a struggle because he's going against a great defense with the Vikings. And remember, you know, the difference between Case Keenum, who's a little bit more of a gambler, a guy who's going to take more chances. You know, Nick Foles, for whatever reason, has become very cautious. He's almost become like Alex Smith of like 4 or 5 years ago, check down Charlie type of things, where he's not wanting to really challenge the ball deep and try those different things. And so that, to me, you know, gives, I think, an advantage to Case Keenum, even though he's on the road against a good Jim Schwartz type of defense. And a good defense, particularly in the front seven. So I think it's going to be a very good game because, again, this is Keenum going against Foles, but I think Keenum's the better quarterback of the two. Certainly he's going to get more money in free agency than Nick Foles, although Foles is not a free agent. He's going to be in the second year of a two-year, $11 million contract, where Foles has been a very good backup who you can catch up to in a couple weeks. Case hasn't been solved yet, so I get the advantage being Case.
John, are the quarterbacks going to be the difference in this game, or is it going to be another aspect? I mean, you look at these two teams, and they appear to be like mirror images of each other.
Well, it'll be a difference in the ratings because, again, it's not Cam Newton, it's not Drew Brees, it's not Russell Wilson, it's not Aaron Rodgers. And so just like last week where the ratings came down 16%, I think it's going to be a big ratings drop-off because you don't have the quarterbacks. But still, I think it's going to be a good game just from the standpoint that you do have two good defenses. You have two teams that haven't really been at this level before, and I think it's going to make for an interesting type of battle. But, yeah, it's going to be so interesting to see what the reaction is going to be nationwide. Why? Because, again, you now more than likely have Tom Brady in the Super Bowl beating Jacksonville against Case Keenum or Nick Foles. Think about that. Would you ever thought those thoughts at the beginning of the year?
No. A year before the season started, absolutely not. And the way Keenum has played, I'm wondering if maybe we just don't give him enough credit for the season he's actually had because we're lumping him in with Foles and with Bortles. But in all reality, this year he has been nothing like those other two.
Oh, no question. But now the question is this because of the quarterback whisperer that's within Pat Shurmur, who has done, you know, 71% with Sam Bradford? I mean, did you ever think that you'd see that kind of numbers coming from him? As I know he's talented. He was a top pick in the draft. And then you see the numbers that are coming out of Case Keenum, who comes in undrafted. I mean, you know, a lot of it has to be the performance of Case, who is good, but how much of it is Pat Shurmur and what he's been able to do with these quarterbacks?
Speaking of Pat Shurmur, how do you think the rest of the coaching carousel shakes out? And does Shurmur land with the Giants?
Yeah, I think he does. I know all along the Giants and Dave Gettleman preferred to get a coach with head coaching experience. And Pat, you know, even though it wasn't the National Football League, it was the Cleveland Browns, has head coaching experience. It wasn't a great situation for him, but still, I think, you know, he's grown a lot. He's done so many good things with, you know, what's going on with the quarterback. So I think, you know, he goes in there, you know, he'll probably keep Eli Manning for a year, draft a quarterback number two, and try to develop that quarterback. So I think he goes to the Giants.
Hey, John, what type of impact, if any, do you believe that Tom Coughlin had on the Jags this year?
I think everything, you know, because I think the biggest impact that he had is make sure that Doug Marrone had a tough training camp, make sure that they had a big-time running game. That's why you knew when Tom Coughlin was going to be making the choices on the players, you knew Leonard Fournette was going to be there because he had to come up with a big-time running back to fit what Tom Coughlin wants for toughness and defining things and making the things easier for Blake Bortles. You know, the defense was good already. I mean, that improvement was there with Gus Bradley, who was fired as the coach last year, but he got the defense to be about the sixth best in football. Their talent was there on defense. They were just a quarterback and a running back away from having a good season. Well, we'll see if Blake Bortles really is the quarterback. We know that Fournette's the running back, and so much of that is Tom Coughlin.
I know Jalen Ramsey today was pretty confident about him having to cover Rob Gronkowski if the game plan plays out that way on Sunday, and he was, you know, he said he's never played against a corner that can cover somebody like I can, essentially, is what he said today. Is he on to something?
Yeah, we'll see. But, I mean, Jalen is really good, and he's very confident, and he's willing to express it. I still like the fact that when he'll make an interception at home, you know, he'll come over, he'll raise his arms to the fans, and then eventually throw the football up to them to get somebody the football to reward them for cheering for him. I mean, he is a big-time ego guy, but he is a great quarterback. And, you know, how that the Houston Texans allowed A.J. Boye to get out of there and join him in Jacksonville. I mean, that's sinful if you're the Texans, because now they have the best cornerback combination in football. But, you know, still, you're matching up against Rob Gronkowski, who's bigger, stronger. And I watched the matchup that you know, Jalen tried to do, you know, against Jimmy Graham, and it wasn't as good for Jacksonville in that regard. So, you know, good on the matchup, but this is still Rob Gronkowski. You count on him for getting a touchdown a game.
Professor, always good to hear your voice. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is John Clayton, the professor, with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Next up, turns out Donald Trump isn't the only celebrity who is hanging out with adult star Stormy Daniels. Those details next before, with all due respect, on 101 ESPN.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at